good to have you all out. We're glad that you came this morning. So good to gather together. Welcome. As it was mentioned a little bit earlier, we're going to have a service here and gathering time on Christmas Eve the way we usually do. We usually meet for about an hour and there's usually a snack or two, or you never know what's going to happen on Christmas Eve. But we just invite you to come. I know it's a family night and many have other plans as well, but we'd love to have you to gather together and to sing a bit about the wonderful time of year that Christmas season brings. And, you know, around Christmas time, the 24th, you always hear some comments made by some people about, you know, there are groups that don't celebrate Christmas at all. They think it's, you know, because it's not really the day that Jesus was born on, that we shouldn't celebrate it. But I don't think Jesus minds if we don't have exactly right. I know, you know, if you do a study on the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ when he came, one thing we know for sure that he wasn't born on December 25th. But it's a day that we celebrate it on, and I think that's it's good. It's something that we have, I think, has enhanced our Christian experience as we celebrate who he is and celebrate the fact that God came to live among man. And that is the thing that we're, what it's all about. And there's a lot of stuff happening about with the commercialization of it and so forth. But the fact is, the reason why we meet together is that the Son of God came and dwelt among us, and he provided a way for us to be with him. And that is something worth rejoicing about, something that we can continue to rejoice about. There's a few things that we want to share this morning, and so we're going to move fairly quickly into our offering time as we bring our tithes and offerings before the Lord this morning. We want to just think about a little bit again of something that I said a few weeks ago about how the enemy, the one who is arrayed against us, the one that the Bible calls the devil, he's arrayed against us. In other words, he wants to stop the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ from advancing. And of course, Jesus has come and he has declared to us that we are to spread his kingdom. We are to acknowledge that the kingdom of God has come. And if you're a born-again believer, you know in your heart that the kingdom of God has come within your heart. And Jesus did say that the kingdom of God is within you. And there's an enemy that wants to stop that. And one of the things that the enemy tries to do is to move us from a harvest mentality. And what I mean by that is that the enemy tries to get us convinced that there's never going to be a harvest coming into our lives. Our harvest, it could be a harvest of love, it could be a harvest of joy, it could be a harvest of friendship, it could be a harvest of peace, and as well as a harvest of financial harvest when we sow seeds into the kingdom of God. And so we have to constantly be reminded that the kingdom of God is, as Jesus said, it's like a farmer who goes out to sow seed. He spreads seed on the ground, and how it grows he doesn't know, but there's a time coming when the harvest comes. And so we are to believe that there is a harvest, so that in everything that we do, even if I give a kind act to someone else, I know that God sees that, and there's going to be a harvest come back to me. There is going to be a harvest come back if I show a love expression to somebody else. I'm convinced that there's a harvest coming back to us even if we smile at somebody. Amen. We go into a grocery store sometimes, and even if the clerk is kind of cranky, if we just smile at her, there's a harvest coming back to us. We might get treated a little bit better. You know, we see their name tag on here, and if we go up there and we even call their name, mention their name. Everybody likes to hear their name mentioned, whether we realize it or not. Everybody likes to hear their name. It's the sweetest thing that can come to our ears a lot of times. You know, it says that I've noticed you. I've noticed you're important enough to me that I've mentioned your name. So when we even mention a person's name when we see it at the store, that can be a seed that we sow in order to receive a harvest. We want to constantly be reminded that God expects us to receive a harvest. Good things are coming into my life. Say that with me. Good things are coming into my life. Praise God. And it's the same thing with finances. When we sow seed into the kingdom of God, we expect a harvest to come back to us. The Apostle Paul said about Jesus, he said, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory." So when we sow seed in the kingdom of God, financial seed, we can expect a harvest in that area. What do I mean by a harvest in that area? Well, the harvest may be a promotion in your work. The harvest may be an acknowledgement of some success that you have done in your job that'll get you into a better position in your workplace. It could mean any kind of thing in that area. It could mean money coming into your hands that is unexpected. All kinds of ways that God can get a harvest of finances into our hands. But when I talk about harvest, because I always kind of express this, is that don't limit it to financial, because a harvest is so much bigger. In the kingdom of God, a harvest is so much bigger than merely finances. My goodness, wouldn't it be terrible to have all the finances in the world and have no friends? I mean, what good would that be? It'd be, you know, if we had everything that we could possibly imagine and yet didn't have loved ones around us, had poor relationships, they weren't able to communicate and show love and express love and receive love, it'd be a drag. Because God made us to communicate and love with one another. And so we expect a harvest in that area as well. Well, stand up with me as we prepare to bring our tithes and offerings before the Lord this morning. Father, I thank you for your grace and your anointing this morning. I thank you that your kingdom is real and the kingdom of God is real. And the way that the kingdom of God puts things together is seed time and harvest. And I thank you, Lord, for everything. Thank you for electronics, God, that work right in Jesus' name. Thank you for the harvest that comes back as we give this morning. Say this with me. I receive a harvest. I receive the blessing of God this day. As I sow seed, I can expect a harvest in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue to worship Him with our giving. Amen. Say this with me before you sit down. Father, I thank you for the holy written word of God. I thank you that it speaks to me. I receive life from the Word of God in Jesus' name. You can be seated. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." So we make a choice to receive life today. Last week we talked a bit about friendship. We shared a little bit about being a friend and what all that is about. And I think I was reminded of a quote by C.S. Lewis when Joan was sharing. C.S. Lewis said, you know that you've become a friend when somebody says, "Oh, you too? I thought it was only me." In other words, when you hear a testimony and you realize that something that is happening in your life is actually happening in somebody else's life, that someone else has a similar thing that has happened to you, you begin to realize that I could get to know that person. I could get to understand them because they've been through the same stuff I've been through. And that's what life is all about. Having friends to be able to share with one another, to tell each other's experiences. And so we want to be open to hearing from one another as we grow in this journey of life, as we walk in this journey of life. That's really what it's all about. You know, one of the reasons why we come together and have fellowship one with another is to be able to connect with one another so that we can hear one another's heart. And I am convinced, the longer I walk in the kingdom of God, I am convinced that there is something about life that God ministers to us through one another, through what we carry in our own hearts. I endeavor to pray and to seek after God and being able to hear some things that he wants me to release here as we come on Sunday morning and share. But also in everyone's lives, we carry a supply of what we call the Spirit of Jesus. And that supply ministers life to someone else. It ministers what we need at times to someone else. It is absolutely important to be connected and to hear one another's heart. And I've asked Caleb to come this morning, and you've heard Caleb share a little bit before. I asked him to come and share a little bit again with us this morning. The last time he shared, how can I put this? There was actually a comment that you got to have him back again. So here we go. Caleb, go for it.
Yeah, thanks. Well, I was thinking, if you ever want to ensure that everything you do is led by the Holy Spirit, a good way is just to put everything off till the last minute. And besides my exams, this I did it with this too. So we'll see how it goes anyways. So a few weeks ago, I wasn't here because I was gone for the weekend to Moncton. I was gone to Atlantic Canada's, what was it, the Canadian Youth Workers Conference. They just had it was the first time they had it in Atlantic Canada. They usually have it just in Toronto, but they spread it across the nation this year so more people could go to it, and it was way cheaper. And I helped out at a youth group in Charlottetown, so I went to it. And anyways, it had a lot of good stuff at it, and I thought it had a lot of stuff that could be relatable to anyone's life, so I thought I'd share some of it. So basically, a lot of the whole weekend was about mentorship and like what that looks like and what it means. And basically, a mentor, when you think about it, is just someone that guides somebody else along in life. And you know, you don't have to be a Christian to be one by any means. There's examples of them in life everywhere. But it's also a biblical idea as well. If you even look at, like, there's all kinds of people in the Bible. Jesus was a mentor to a lot of his disciples, particularly like James and John and Peter, Paul and Barnabas, or Paul and Timothy, and Ruth and Naomi in the Old Testament. There's all kinds of examples of it. And then there's all kinds of examples of close friendships too, like Jonathan and David in the Old Testament as well, where we see that they were really close friends. And when you have close friends, it's a good way to be able to connect with each other. I'm a huge hockey fan, as I mentioned last time, so I always end up finding my examples from it. But I'm also going through a tough time because I'm a big Boston Bruins fan. They've been pretty bad lately. It's kind of their fall from grace, but hopefully they'll come back. But anyways, I was thinking about it, and if you've ever watched any hockey at all, at least in the NHL, you maybe have heard of Zdeno Chara. He's Boston's captain. He's been out a while. He's pretty much a giant on skates. That's how what he's known for. But it's been interesting as a fan watching games to see how one of the Bruins' younger defensemen, Dougie Hamilton, has he's gotten a lot better this season, and you really see his game getting better, even though he's not always playing with him. And it's kind of another example of mentorship and what it's meant to do. It's you don't always have to see the success that you, and the impact you make on someone else, but a lot of the times the people that surround you can make you better and teach you things. And if you can do it on a hockey rink, then you can do it in life, certainly, and it's way more important in life. So anyways, I just thought that was interesting and a good example in my mind anyways of how you can impact someone. And at the conference I was at, I heard this great line. This guy, this is his name. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of him. His name's Sid Coop. I'd never heard of him before. I thought he had a funny name. But he gave this great talk, and he said something that I think is relevant to pretty much any Christian, that it says, as we separate Jesus from the Word, a strange thing happens. He starts to look a lot more like us. And I think that's a really true statement that applies to all of us, that, you know, to be a mentor or to instill any godly values in anyone, we have to stay rooted in the Bible and reading it, because we live in a world where, you know, you're presented with so many different views and everything, and people always try and make Jesus look one way or another. But the funny thing is, and it's true, that the less and less you read a Bible and try and, you know, actually read the thing from side to side and not just choosing and picking whatever you want, the more Jesus begins to look like you instead of you looking like him. So that's definitely an important factor in it. So I guess three questions I'd have that to start off kind of talking about mentorship would be, first to think of, if you consider yourself a mentor, that you've ever impacted someone, which I'm sure we all have, to think, the first question, and I didn't come up with this, by the way, this is mostly just stuff I heard at the conference, but it would be the question, who do you think really highly of, or who's someone that you think of in your life that you've impacted greatly, or someone that's impacted you even, but also someone that you've impacted? So if you think about that for a second and come up with someone in your head or a few people, great. So then the second question I'd have would be, what do you think of them? Do you think they're, I don't know, a really patient person? Do you think they're really gracious? Do you think they're really selfless or loving or kind or whatever? And then the last question to go with it is pretty much, do they know that you think that about them? Because having great intentions is a wonderful thing, but unless people know that you think that about them, it's not nearly as effective as it could be. So for me, at the conference, it served as a reminder just of the youth that I work with to think that you like. You know, you can think, it's funny how we're so good at, I'm especially so good at pointing out when I disagree with someone or something, but so often it's can be quite challenging to point out when you agree with them and you just forget about it, to point out like, oh man, you were great at that, or, you know, I think so highly of you for that. And like Pastor Bill said, like, especially around Christmas time, it, even just something as simple as a smile or something for someone can make such a big impact on their lives. Another key to being a good mentor, someone said at the thing, was you have to have a good set of ears. And I think that's definitely true, that if you are able to listen well, it goes a long way in life over talking over everyone all the time. And I think that's pretty evident, because once you start to talk, there's usually, it doesn't take too long before you say something that sounds really bad. So that's why the people who talk the most and do well at it are the bravest ones usually, because it means they do a pretty good job not to screw up whatever they're saying. So anyways, I have a few scriptures. I can find them in my Bible. Now some of these are to do with mentorship kind of, and others are more about like abiding in God's word, because that's a key to mentorship. The first one I have is in John 15:6-7. And it says that if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So it's just a reminder that just as when you're pouring into someone else, you should be pouring in what you've received from God. And because no matter what good example we set, pointing them to God is always going to be the best thing we can do. And then in 2 Corinthians, it's going to take me a second to get there with one hand anyways. Second Corinthians 1:8-9 says that, for we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received that the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. And that's kind of just a reminder, too, that even as mentors or just going through life as friends or anything, all of us encounter struggles, but we go through them so that we are able to give God the glory for it. And so it's not like everything's going to go imperfect in life or we're always going to set a perfect example, but we're still able to positively affect people depending on the attitude that you have in those situations. So I guess basically, it's just important to remember that the example Jesus set for us is what we're supposed to follow. And when you think about Jesus, I loved what was said a few weeks ago that here that you can pick apart. I had a philosophy class this semester. It's my last exam too, so it's on my mind a lot. You can talk, there's lots of arguments against Christianity and against God's existence, like, oh, well, evil exists in the world, and then they counter-argument this and then pull this back and ad hoc this, and I don't know, a posteriori that, and it means all this stuff in Greek that's supposed to mean something. But basically, at the end of the day, it's still true that when you talk just about Jesus, there's not really an argument you could have that's against anything he said. And that's even true at the conference I was at. They had this poll of, like, I went to this meeting that was about, like, pretty much like postmodernism and how, oh, I was expecting it to be about how today's youth don't have, you know, black and white views of what's right and what's wrong, and that's a bad thing. But actually, it turned out to be that most of the meeting was more about they don't, but they do about Jesus, and that's what we should target then. Because when people think about Jesus, it's going to impact everything way more than what they think about anything else or Christianity. Really, like, did Adam and Eve have belly buttons? Who really cares at the end of the day? It's not really that relevant. But I mean, well. It still could have a debate. But anyways, it's what people think about Jesus that really matters. So, and that's the most important thing we could pass on to anyone that you're mentoring to. So I guess it's being a mentor itself at the conference, they made a big deal out of, like, you know, having a very specific set of guidelines. But I really think just looking at it as a way to be, especially at Christmas time, because it seems easier to connect with people, although I still wouldn't consider it Christmas time till about the 22nd. But you can still think of it now, too, that just to think of how you're impacting other people. And I don't know, it's almost a safer time of the year to be nice to people. That sounds terrible, but it's true. That you can show a little more kindness to people without them thinking you're weird or crazy. So you can do that and think of stuff like that. At my youth group on Wednesday night, we went out and did it. We've done it here before, too, I believe, like this, like, random acts of kindness thing where we just went around for a little while, and we made it into a game, and we had, like, a mission, like, go write 5 notes to people and give them out, or go buy cans of food and bring them back so we can have them for the food bank. And, like, I don't know, everyone was really into it, and it was great to see, and you think, why don't we do this more? And then sometimes you don't usually, but, I mean, it's things like that that make the biggest difference. And, like, in my own life, I'd have to say, like, for my earthly father, he probably wouldn't know it at all, but, like, if I had to think of the biggest impact he ever had on my life so far, it wouldn't be that, you know, he has a good-paying job, or that, you know, he always lends me the car, or that he watches hockey with me or whatever. It'd be that I remember one time years ago, it was around Christmas time, and we were out shopping or something, so you know it was a nightmare already if we were out shopping together, especially with the pickiness of my mother for some things. But anyways, we were out shopping for whatever, and there's this, I don't know if he was homeless or just poor or whatever, some guy that asked him for help with something or for some money. I don't know what it was exactly. I barely remember it. But I do remember it, so it must have been an important instance, and he just helped the guy out, and I forget what he gave him or how much he gave him. I don't really know. I barely remember it, but it's one of the most impactful things that was ever on my life, and my father probably didn't even know I saw him do it because I was sitting in the car waiting for him, and saw him help this guy out. And it's just an example that, you know, I don't know whatever happened to that guy, but you know, it's the small impact that a little act of kindness has had, I mean, can have, and you don't have to be a saint to do that either. You, one little act of kindness can go such a far way, and I guess that's just what's important to keep in mind. And back in August, I was at this, I forget what the name of the church was, but it was this Catholic church somewhere, not in Charlottetown, with my grandparents and family. We were out for, was it for your birthday? It was for something. I don't know, Kelly's Cross? For something? It was in August, anyways. Yeah, okay, well, it was for something anyways. And anyways, they sang this great song. I thought it was great. I don't remember the whole lyrics or anything. But basically, the basic line of the song was, "Let me be a little meeker with my brother that is weaker." And it went on and on and on. But anyways, the point of the song was that, you know, there's so many instances where we're not, where we don't show enough compassion as we do on ourselves. And if we were a little meeker with everybody else, it would go a long way, and especially at Christmas time. So I know this isn't a completely biblically rooted message in one particular story or another, but just to keep that in mind as you go further into the holiday season, just as a reminder that, you know, the gifts and everything are okay, but at the end of the day, it's how we treat people that's going to make the biggest impact. And you never know sometimes how much, even as we heard last week, how, you know, what one person's action can do, and how you can think, well, geez, I didn't think that meant anything, but someone else will get something completely different from it. And the biggest way to impact someone's lives can be from some of the little things, like how the Bible tells us that they'll know we're Christians by our love. And when it comes to pretty much any issue in life, that's how the best way to settle it as a Christian is if you can show them that you're being loving, and they'll notice that something's different. And I had this evidence for me at university this week. They had this great, and I mean great for me, free lunch on Thursday, on Wednesday and Thursday, but I didn't have an exam on Wednesday, so I'm not that into a good meal that I was going to go in when I didn't have any exams. But they had this free lunch that this Christian group put on from the university, and it's like, you can pretty well get anyone into a chapel building if there's a free meal. And I mean, there's all kinds of people there, and it's like, you know, it wasn't outright religious or anything, but it's just a way to get people in the door and to get them thinking. And like, it was just a great thing to see, because I mean, I wasn't even aware, I wasn't associated with the group at all really, but I knew a few of the people in it, and it was just great to see, because again, it's just such a little thing, but even for me, I wasn't even that stressed about exams or anything, but it was just such a big boost in the day to go, you know, someone cared enough to make a lunch for you and not expect anything in return, and so it was really nice. So I just encourage you all, and myself also, to think about that and try to apply it around Christmas time, but throughout the whole year as well. And we all have a great chance when the service ends to help with the Christmas setup, but of course, if everything's not set up right, certain people spend a long time setting everything else up anyways after, so don't necessarily be too concerned about that part. So anyways, that's pretty much everything, so yeah.
Great, Caleb.